We're starting an extended series. I'm going to spend a few weeks talking about a topic that, quite honestly, whenever it's mentioned, tension rises. You know, when you stand in front of people as much as I have over the years, you can always sense things. And when you talk about certain things, you can always realize that temperatures inside start to go up because it produces so many different things in the minds of people. When you talk about the word prayer, almost without fail, people inside start to get a little bit stressed out about it because they're thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to just get told how much we don't pray and how much we need to pray and I can't do it. Right? And it's interesting how you interpret things. We interpret things always in the context of our life. That's what causes problems. Did you know that? Somebody will make a statement from a pulpit or from a tape or from a television show. They'll make a statement, but you've got, and they make the statement from a contextual point in their life. And, you know, hopefully those that are you're listening to are at a point in life that, you know, we can learn a lot from, right? So they make a statement, but it's viewed from novice in Christ to mature in Christ. And the problem is the contextual interpretation of it can get you in trouble. Really get you in trouble. For instance, years ago in my earlier years, in my 20s, a couple years ago. All right. 30 years ago. Almost pretty close to 30 years ago. So more than double my... Wow. I'm... Wow. Let's dismiss. I was about 24, somewhere in there. And I was privileged to be in a pretty intimate meeting with a heavyweight in the body of Christ. I mean, a heavy, heavyweight. Guy that pastors more people than anybody in the world. Dr. Paul Young-Yi Cho. At that time, so this would have been 1984-ish, 300,000 plus people. His staff, I'll never forget his staff. I think he had 8,000 staff members. That was like three times the city. Well, I guess you can't say city. The village, three times the village that I grew up in was his staff, full-time staff members. Pretty awesome opportunity. I got to actually spend a fair bit of time. To which this great man that in the context of his life had spent hours on his face before God for a whole lot of different reasons. First of all, for his health in Korea. And then, you know, for a whole bunch of different things. Anyhow, so here's the guy makes a statement about prayer. I'm 24. Now, I had been serving God for 17 plus years of my life. I had been in ministry for quite a few years. So, you know, but here's this guy speaking that I'm like, you know, jaw drop. I just can't believe that I get to spend time with this guy. And he makes a statement that ruined my life. For a while. Didn't cause me to sin, but I'm just going to tell you inside, messed me up. Not in an entirely bad way, but he made the statement. He said, if you don't pray for 2 hours uninterrupted, it'd just be just as good for you never to pray, because you'll never accomplish anything. Now, here's what I couldn't do. Oh, what does he know about it? He only pastors 300,000 people. What does he know about prayer? He only has 8,000 people on his staff. What does he know about prayer? I mean, that argument kind of went out the window, right? I'm sitting there going, wow, the church we were serving had 110. I was the staff member. What would you do? Seriously, what would you do? You're in this, let's just put it on a case study perspective. You're in the same line of work. Would you not listen to somebody in the same line of work? What if you were in the same line of work and you heard the top salesman in the world tell you something about your exact line of work? Would you listen? Not only would you listen, I bet, but if you were, you know, driven on any level, wouldn't you want to try to do the same thing? Because one thing you couldn't do is you couldn't look at them and go, what do they have to say? They're no bigger than I am. Oh, have you ever tried to pray 2 hours a day, uninterrupted, day in and day out? And have been told that's the minimum. So I asked him how much he prayed. Day in and day out, 6 hours a day, uninterrupted. I didn't say this, but I wanted to say, yeah, but I have a life. Of course, that would have been disrespectful and wrong and all of that on umpteen levels, but the context of my life, I'm 24. I've got a wife, little baby probably was there, Chantel was probably there. The thought of me, the two-hour deal, kind of, you know, I can do that a little bit, day in and day out. Life happens, right? So for years, honestly, for years, I secretly lived with, you know, and I was able to go, I was able to have a big enough idea of go, okay, that's him, that's not me. But yet, this big dog said something that stuck in my craw. I went for years, honestly, feeling like, well, no wonder you don't have 5,000 people. No wonder you don't have whatever. I mean, you can't do the 2 hour minimal, day in and day out. Now, I hear some of you real spiritual people who don't do it, but I hear you saying, well, you really could if you wanted to. Okay, you do it for 5 years and then come back to me. And then tell me about it. Oh, and don't break it for 5 years either. And then come back and tell me. Are you with me? Yeah. So whenever you start talking about praying, the only reason I'm doing this is I want to diffuse the stress. So you're not going to hear that. It's not what this is going to be about. So I'm not going to stand up here at all saying you got to pray more. I think all of us know that. There's not a person in here that honestly could look at themselves and go, could you pray more? None of us would go, no, I'm good. No, I'm good. Nah. So we all get that. But I am going to approach this topic, hopefully from a different perspective, because I want to get your brains engaged, and I want to get your hearts engaged. And I think if you keep going up the same mountain the same way, it ends up being a trail, which is not bad, but you keep going the trail and it becomes a rut. And after a while, a rut is just nothing more than a grave elongated. Okay, so I'm going to talk about prayer in a completely different perspective. Today's just going to be kind of an introductory. I want to get your thoughts going in the same direction. Jesus entered Jerusalem a week before at least what we celebrate as Easter. You remember his triumphal entrance. He went into the temple, found the temple to be in such a place that didn't please him. So he drove out the money changers, and then he made a statement that he quotes from this portion of scripture that we're going to read. So let's read it. 56:7 of Isaiah. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Underline, my house of prayer. Okay? Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. I'm going to talk about, have you seen the show? I don't know if it's called this, but have you seen the extreme makeover type shows? Okay. So I want you to just start thinking about your life being a house, us corporately as a house. And I want you to start thinking about this from a completely different perspective to just help engage us. It says here that my house. So let me ask a question. Let's first of all just define what the house is. Is the house you personal? That'd be a yes or no. I would say yes. How many of you know I'm the church, but we're the church? You can say the same thing, right? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're the church. But at the same time, we're the church. Are you with me? Same concept, same idea. Here's the thing, there's some words that stand out once you read this. The biggest word that stands out is the word my, right? Jesus quoted this from what God said, that my house of prayer. It says it more than once. So everybody say God's house. Okay. So we're going to talk about the concept of a house. What do you do in a house? You live. That's a heavy revelation. You live in a house. Let me ask a question. Do you live in just one room of the house? Mm-mm. You live in the whole house. So first of all, we can say this. This is just introductory stuff. God dwells in an environment of prayer. You agree with that? Prayer is communion, is communication. We've already prayed today. When these praise and worship folks were up here, did you know that's prayer? It really is, because what were we doing? And what were they leading us to do? To commune with God. We're saying stuff to God, okay? So in a house has many different rooms, and there's many different purposes for each of those rooms, right? When somebody comes to your door that you've never seen before, you don't know them, when they knock on your door and you open the door, where do you take them? This is good. Some of you, I ain't opening the door. Gotcha. Okay. If you were to open the door, where would you take them? For sure, you wouldn't take them to your bedroom. You wouldn't go there, right? Hey, welcome. You know, come on, follow me. I want to take you to the bedroom. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't take them to your, you know, if you have more than one bathroom, you probably wouldn't take them to your bathroom, right? And you certainly wouldn't open that drawer that we all have. Right? Every house has that one drawer or that one closet. That it's like, only family knows where it is, right? The thing is there's this thing of called appropriateness. Are you with me? Appropriateness and understanding of space. So that stuff happens in our houses, in the living room, that's appropriate for the living room, right? Stuff takes place in the kitchen that's appropriate to take place in a kitchen. Stuff takes place in a bathroom that's appropriate. Now, hopefully your brain is going a step further. If it's God's house, that changes the dynamic a whole lot. For instance, if I was invited over to Pastor Josh and Jackie's house, okay, and I come in, first thing I do when I walk in, here, I want the remote now. We're going to watch my television show. And Jackie is a nice hostess, says, well, here, would you sit down here, Pastor? Nope, I ain't sitting there. I'm going to the bedroom. I'm here now. Well, you know, I kind of cook this stuff that I'd like us to eat. Nope, I want you to cook something else. It's not what I want. Well, you know, there's some things I'd like to talk about. Could we talk about? Nope, I ain't talking about that. It's an extreme example. But I'm afraid that many Christians do that when they walk into God's house of prayer. We're going to talk about what I want to talk about. Well, you know, God, just picture, put an anthropomorphism on God. Pretend he's human. And he welcomes you into the house. Well, we're going to the bedroom now. I'm going to really share with you what's on my heart. Well, you know what? I'd like us to, could we spend time, could we sit down in the living room and have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and talk about, nope, I ain't talking about it. Not ready. You know what? We do that with God. If we could put the idea on many people's prayer life, God for them is nothing more than a pack mule. We walk into God's house, God's house, not ours. God's house. Yeah, but bless God, I have right standing with God. Oh, you got right standing with God. That's why he invited you over. Right. Don't ever forget, it's his house.
That's right.
Don't ever forget that. Well, you know what? He just needs to listen to what I have to say. Uh-uh. We need to listen to what he has to say. Because he knows our needs even before we ask. So you can rest assured, if we will be an honored guest, if I could say it that way. Now, we're family, but we're still in his house. Let's let him call the shot. Does that make sense? Let's let him even direct the conversation. But he needs to hear what I have to say. Okay. But he's God. Amen? So what kind of conversation? I'm just throwing stuff out to get your brain to think about where we're going. So I am going to say that there's a place of intimacy. And if I was to liken it to a house, that would be the master bedroom. That's a place that's very, very, very special for a lot of reasons. And so for some of you that are snickering, it's not just about sex, okay? But there is a place of intimacy in that master bedroom that really is, listen real close, the most appropriate space for that. And how many of you know there's not only appropriate space, but there's appropriate time? But lest we have the idea that that's the most important, I say all the other stuff that happens throughout the house, listen really close, makes even more special what may happen in that special place. And if all that other stuff is ignored, not a good thing for the relationship. Husband comes home, some of you got this look on your face, what are you talking about? Well, let me just lay it out for you. Husband comes home, forgets the place of the living room to just chat about the day. We're going to the bedroom, come on. But I'd like to talk to you just about the day, honey. No, we're going to the bedroom, that's all just superficial stuff. We're gonna do the most important stuff. What would we do with that? First of all, we'd take a ball bat. Why? Seriously, why? Because there's value in what happened to your day today. How did your day go? Just communication. Just talking about life. If you have kids, how's kids? How many of you know that? That all is necessary. If you want to just, I see some of your brains already going there. All that stuff is necessary leading up to that maybe most intimate discussion that takes place there in the bedroom, right? If you ignore all that, but people do that with God all the time. They forget that whole side of life, and we just have this idea that God just needs to listen to my heart. I'm just going to bare my soul. Realize you're in his house. Now listen, it's not only what we say, but it's how we act. So are you saying, Pastor, that how we act in prayer is important? You better believe it. Are you with me? What do you mean? You ought to be able to see a contrite heart. And if you can't see a contrite heart, you might not have one. What do you mean? Dret and I have a discussion of which we disagree on. Audio. Well, you know what? Fine. If it'll make you feel better, then I'm sorry. Not only doesn't it not sound like it, but I'm probably not acting like it. Can I act like I'm sorry? Oh, sure you can. Can you with God? Oh, no. God doesn't look on the outward side. He looks on the inward side of the heart. Those sorts of comments are rationales for our awful behavior in somebody else's house. Amen? You ever had anybody over to your house that didn't understand the appropriateness of space? You ever had that before? First time First place you'll probably see that in somebody's unruly children. It's amazing how many brats people raise. Sorry, just came out. We've all had that happen before. Somebody comes over that has kids, all of a sudden those kids are in the master bedroom closet. Are you with me? Okay, maybe it's a different world, but when I grew up, there was a code that was, yeah, and if you broke the code, it got spoken. But the code was for the house that I grew up in. I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying. And it wasn't just sexual, so get that out of your brain when I talk about master bedroom. I'm talking about the intimacy. I'm not talking about just the sexual act. I'm talking about far more than that, okay? But in my house that I grew up in, if that door was closed, not only did you not go in, but you didn't knock. Period. You didn't touch that door. It's like, oops, okay. Walk away. Because that was code for us as a family that says, whatever's happening in there, could be a discussion, could be whatever, we don't interrupt it. Because our mom and dad, you know, that was just code for the family. When the door was open, if it was cracked, okay, Katie, bar the door. You could knock, you could do whatever. But if that door was closed, I don't know that our house, I guess we could ask the girls, I'm not going to, but I don't know that. I don't know that our house was quite that rigid, but I do think all of our children know that mom and dad's room is kind of a sacred place. It's not any more special, but it is kind of a place that's, ooh, you know what I mean? Of course, I don't get how women do their deal, but that's a whole other thing. It's like the girls over the years, it's like, you can fix your hair in your bathroom. You have one. Why do you have to come? Any dads with girls, you get that. It's like, why in the world? Yeah, all the dads, stand up. It's like, why in the world do you girls have to go to your mom's bathroom when you have your own?
We're bonding.
You're bonding. I call it bondage. Yeah. I don't get that. Okay. All that aside, the idea is, there's appropriateness of space. Christians, I think it's important we get that back when it comes to this topic of prayer. There is things that are appropriate. There's things that are not appropriate in his house of prayer. I was using the example, Rob, stand up here for a sec if you wouldn't mind. There's people that don't understand space, personal space. You ever been around somebody like that? What do you want to do with them? Buddy, I'm telling you, people that don't get space, I don't get it. But there's people like that. I've got a friend that lives out of state, so. Oh, yeah, it's just like, I mean, smile. This guy's got a smile on his face just as big as it. Oh, how you doing? It's like, so, he, yeah, hey, how you doing? You know, there's just something I wanted to tell you, you know? And what are you doing? You're just like, finally, and I'm watching everybody else. First time I met this guy, I'm like, what's up with this dude? Go ahead. What's up with this dude? And I'm watching everybody else, and they just put up with it. And it's like, I ain't putting up with this. There's just no way. First of all, his breath stinks sometimes, and I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. So, for fear of whatever, you know, I may lose the friendship. I just said, listen. He comes up to me. I said, listen, stop. What? I said, do you understand space? No, what are you talking about? I said, he steps forward. I said, why did you step forward? Well, I wanted to talk to you. I said, no, you're in my space. I said, you do it every time I talk to you. I said, the reason I'm stepping backwards is because you're in my space. That's your clue to not step forward. And I said, and if you don't get it, I'll put my hands up, and when my hands go up, they may turn into a fist. That you don't come in my space. Well, I just love you. Well, I just love you and I just want to talk to you. I said, but listen, you got a clue. You got to have a clue about people's space. Well, you know, I just love people. I get it. And he really does. I get that you love people. But you need to understand something about space. And it's not just necessarily the square footage. How many of you know it's appropriateness? One of the things that I encourage us as Christians is to understand God's space. There's appropriateness. Well, he just loves me. I can just do whatever. I can just go, and we'll even, and it's not a bad phrase, so I know I'm probably stepping on, in all this, I'm sure I'll step on somebody's toe. It's not just jumping up in daddy's lap. There's times that you step up in daddy's lap. But there's times that dad wants to put you over his knee. Are you with me? And understanding that space is important to understanding the dynamics of prayer. Amen? We just don't walk in. Hey, God, how you doing, dude? How you doing? Oh, man, hey, give me a high five. Yeah, cool. Yeah, but don't we have that kind of a relationship with God? Well, I say yes with an asterisk. But there's times that you walk into the house of prayer with God, and it's not appropriate at the moment always to give God the knuckles, to give him the whatever. Are you with me? Oh, I don't know about, but the God that I serve likes that. You know, maybe, but maybe he tolerates you invading his space, and you could get a whole lot further with him if you would honor his space instead of invading his space all the time. Amen? I get that sometimes in a church setting. I get that sometimes when I speak somewhere. Somebody will come right up, I'll be in a conversation, and somebody will walk right in and go, you know, could I just talk to you for just a moment? I just want to go, yep. Why? They don't understand appropriateness, and they don't understand space. Amen? For instance, we're in a house here, a church house. But how many of you know Dorette and I would never deal with some intimate issues that we need to deal with? It could be some really tough conversations. How many of you know we wouldn't do it here in front of you? Why? Well, aren't we all free and love Jesus? Aren't we just one great, big, happy family? Yeah, we are. But there's a time and a space that you deal with certain things. Appropriateness. Amen? We're going to, you know, I'm going to deal with her problems. We're going to deal with our stuff in an appropriate space and in an appropriate time. Amen? And so this discussion over the next few weeks, we're really going to go, I'm going to do my best to go in depth and talk about the different parts of a house, what's appropriate. We're going to go through the Lord's Prayer, piece by piece. For instance, the Lord's Prayer starts off with small talk. Yes. Did you ever think about that? Do the first phrase. Stop. You honestly think he doesn't know he's in heaven? Seriously. Good question to ask. Is it really deep? Nope. Who's it for? It's not for God. Believe me, he knows he's in heaven. Who's it for? It's for myself. To do what? Because listen, here's the thing we know about God. He's right. He's perfect. He's good to go. I'm not. Are you with me? I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm human. So it's about me, our Father who art in heaven. That's as superficial when it comes to praying as you can ever get. But yet at the same time, I say this. Until you can small talk, you probably won't ever be able to have those experiences with God that are very intimate. Why? Is God on the failing side of that? No, I am. Then what's the next one? Our Father who art in heaven. You think he doesn't know that? Do you think he doesn't know that when he speaks, people listen? Do you think he doesn't know that his name is higher above than any other name that's named among men or named in the earth, heaven? Or, do you think he doesn't know that? Oh, he does know all that. But we don't. Now, we may know it, book knowledge. But how many of you know we need to start part of that example prayer is about bringing us into a spot. And I say this, that you can actually take the Lord's Prayer and you can liken parts of it to a house, the different parts of the room of a house. Amen? So it's important. It's truly important that when we come to God's house, that small talk takes place. Stuff that's not necessarily really deep. Stuff that's important, though, for the relationship. Amen? You see, one of the things that when Drett and I first met, our cultures were just different. I grew up rural. She grew up city. I grew up American. She grew up European American. Okay? She's every bit as American as I am. But her family dynamic was a little bit more European than mine. Mine is just farmers and ranchers. We look at things a little bit differently. What do you think? Okay? So, you know, I've had to learn, and I'm still trying to learn, conversations about certain things that, quite honestly to me, I really don't care. Any other guys like that in there? Right? Guys, have you ever driven by somebody else's house that you don't know, you don't care to know, and your wife wants to have a conversation about how pretty the yard is and the color of the paint and all that sort of stuff? Guys, have you ever had come up on the inside of you? I really don't give a flip. It ain't my house. Right? And maybe you want to go a little bit further if you're trying to manipulate me to do the same thing. That ain't happening. Any of you guys ever have that elicited on the inside of you? Or, okay, ladies, maybe you have the same thing. But you know what? The truth is maybe she really doesn't care about that house and she really knows that she'll never live there or whatever. But how many of you know, if I can't go there, our relationship can suffer. Amen? It really can. So, I've learned to just talk. Okay? And I'm learning. And she would probably think, I have a long way to go. That would be your cue right then to say, no, honey, you've done a phenomenal job.
Amen, babe. Amen, babe.
But you know what? Maybe she's learned to stop yapping all the time. Oh, no, ladies, don't stone me here. Uh-uh. It is possible that you talk too much. It's just a possibility. I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying it's simply a possibility. So what I'm saying is, okay, now you're awake. That's good. All I'm saying is this. Unless we value those types of conversations, when it comes to the crunch of needing to deal with more difficult issues, or the beauty of experiencing more intimate things, if we can't do that, we won't be able to deal with the tough stuff. And I'm going to tell you why a lot of Christians, this is just my opinion, have difficulties getting through difficulties. It's because they haven't cultivated all the rooms of the house that they live in with God. They're expecting the deep, the awesome, to use one of Pastor Josh's words, the epic, the yeah. They're expecting all of that, but can never talk about stuff that isn't necessarily all that deep. Amen? With that, we will put it on pause.